Welcome to Hollywood, Minnesota, the show that looks at the links between the land of 10,000 lakes and the motion picture industry. The show aims to highlight the way cinema is a part of Minnesota's artistic and cultural heritage through interviews with local filmmakers and film festival coordinators, as well as profiles of Hollywood figures with Minnesota roots. On today's edition of Hollywood, Minnesota, I will be speaking to Paul Sokup, the screening coordinator of the Frozen River Film Festival. The festival will be held January 22nd through the 26th here in the Winona area. All right, Paul, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
When did you first get involved with the Frozen River Film Festival?
I've been a part of the film festival for 3 years now. I started on the film selection committee, and for the last two years previously to that, that's what I've been doing. This year is when I ended up taking over the coordination position of the screening committee.
And what does that require you to do?
We end up getting plenty of different film submissions throughout a couple of different venues, ones through Without a Box, and then other ones we ask for copies of particular films, things that be interesting for the film festival. And then we need to coordinate with a group of other people that has been selected throughout the years, and we've kind of added on people throughout it, kind of try to do a more diverse group of Winona, you know, so we don't all have people of the same interests in the same areas. We have, you know, age differences. We have a couple of professors from Winona State on here, and just kind of all across the board, kind of try to do that. And every year we try to cycle in a couple new different people. We all don't want to have the same voice, in other words.
What do you think the Frozen River Film Festival brings to the Winona community?
Here in Winona, we're kind of an embarrassment of riches when it comes to this area. I mean, with all the different arts, everything else that comes through here, we have the Great River Shakespeare Festival, we have the Beethoven Festival, we have the Marine Art Museum, more recently now the Midwest Music Fest, we have the Frozen River Film Festival, and it's just everything here kind of brings something different to the table. For the festival, especially the film festival here, we bring different ideas from all around the world that we don't necessarily experience around here in Winona, such as, I mean, even at the film festival, we have a couple of films about Uganda. Some people think that maybe Winona is a little sheltered in a lot of ways, and this is kind of bringing different perspectives out there, and then even looking at these different perspectives, truly how it can pertain to us. I mean, for instance, you know, looking at one of the films we have coming up is called Gold Fever, which is from the country of Georgia, and about stripping the land for the gold that's in there and how people were protecting the land from this. You can draw some parallels to our own area here.
I'm glad you brought up some of the sort of political aspects, because a lot of the entries in the festival address social and environmental issues. Do you seek out these kinds of subjects, or do filmmakers with these kinds of films see the Frozen River Film Festival as a friendly and receptive place for their work?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we like to see a little bit of the one of our key aspects is about the environment. So definitely we're looking for films out there that do tackle environmental issues, especially ones that we wouldn't necessarily notice around here. I mean, I remember 3 years ago there was a film about water. And how, you know, something that's so readily available to us in this area is, you know, people have to purchase it in Africa. They'd have to purchase it. They'd have stamps in order to collect it. And, you know, it's a huge market out there for them for something that's so readily available to us here.
So how do filmmakers get their work into the festival?
One of the venues is through a system from IMDb called Without a Box. A global company sort of that they can actually submit their films to us. They can look through a database to see what, you know, what our key interests are. Of us is obviously the environmental, action, adventure, travel, extreme sports. And so looking at that, okay, if their film falls into that sort of demographic then, or into those categories, they can seek us out and enter into it. You know, when we show, okay, what do we offer here? What's the number of people that you'd end up seeing coming to the film festival, and, you know, and just getting the word out from that. That's one of the venues. There are ways for them to, they can directly contact us as well. And depending on the situation, typically we kind of move them over to the Without a Box area.
since a lot of the subjects of the films in the Frozen River Film Festival are political in one way or another, do you and the other committee members concern yourself with balancing the political perspectives of festival selections?
You know, that's something that's been brought up in a lot of ways, and we try our best in a lot of ways to look for films that kind of balance things out. This year in particular, there's of all the films that we have showing, which there is just many, many wonderful films, there's one called Uranium Drive-In. It's coming in here. They showed it over at Mountain Film Festival over in Telluride, Colorado. We were able to view it, and we also have the producer, one of the producers of the film, coming to talk about it. What's beautiful about this film is it's one of those films that it takes a they're talking about whether or not a uranium mine is going to be opened up again in this area of Colorado. And then, of course, in the group you have, or in the area, you have a lot of individuals who are some that are extremely against that coming back into it, other people that are very for it, for the jobs, for everything. And it shows these people's lives and how this would change them, how it would not change them, why they're against it, why they're for it. There's political, or, you know, the activists that are against it, and even some perspectives from the companies themselves that are trying to start it up again. And what's beautiful about this film is so often the filmmaker themselves will take they have their own point of view and they kind of interject it into the film. This is purely stripped from that. It is simply taking a snapshot of these people's lives and lets you take what you want from it. It's just one of those few films that's just so beautiful to actually see that. You know, make up your own mind. I'm not going to make that up for you. It's kind of beautiful in that regard.
You mentioned the issue of Uganda. Several films in the festival this year are concerned with that one way or another. And one of those is God Loves Uganda. What can you tell me about that film?
Right now, that was one of these films here towards the end we were able to get a copy of, and they're on the short list for Academy for nominations for the Academy Award in documentary. And it goes into talking about a bill that was passed in Uganda that was very anti-gay. And from there, it kind of goes into a lot of what's the political feeling of people's rights in Uganda. And it goes from there, the people that are trying to help work through it, those people that are against it. And it's truly a remarkable film.
Two other films we've got is Badru's Story and Forgive Me, Mother. Are you familiar at all with those films?
Forgive Me, Mother takes a lot more into the whole everybody to know who Kony was back a couple years.
The Kony 2012 issue.
Kony 2012, exactly. This goes more in depth of the actual person himself and how he set his reign up in a lot of ways, taking young children and recruiting him into his army and everything. But then it goes into how these people of Uganda can, obviously it's a horrible, terrible situation, but what can they do to start repairing from that and ultimately forgiving?
This year's film festival features dual screenings on the subject of hydraulic fracturing, which is better known in the press as fracking. This has become a major issue across the country, including right here in Winona. And the festival has two films with opposing views on the subject, Frack Nation and Gasland 2. Let's talk about Frack Nation first.
Certainly. But it's a counterpoint to Josh Fox's Gasland. And he basically takes what Josh Fox's conjectures were and things and goes and revisits the individuals, talks to the other people, asks for, hey, this is what I want. You know, I want to see the actual results from it too. So it's definitely a counterpoint to the whole anti-fracking. The one thing, though, that I really wish that film would have gone more into for more in our regard is about the frack sand itself.
The other film being shown is Gasland 2. That's obviously the sequel to the original Gasland by Josh Fox. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about the sequel? How is it different?
I can't actually tell you too much about it because I haven't been able to get a chance to screen it yet. So it's going to be as much of a surprise to me as well on it. From seeing the first one and what he went into it, it will be very interesting to see what the next section of what that film will do.
Less controversially, there are films of local interest. One of them is the local stop-motion animation STEM videos. One of the other films being shown is Meeting Charlie Parr. Charlie Parr is a musician who ends up in Winona quite a bit, doesn't he?
Very much, very often, yes.
What can you tell me about this film?
This is a film that was created by a French filmmaker that ended up falling in love with the music of Charlie Parr and following him around a little bit and getting more into the depth of the individual. We'll be showing that film at Dibs on Friday evening, January 24th at 7:30 p.m. The film itself is 40 minutes long, and then Charlie Parr will be doing a concert there as well.
So in addition to the film screenings, the Frozen River Film Festival includes workshops, speakers, and musical performances. Aside from the performance by Charlie Parr, what are some of the other highlights?
Some of the other highlights is we definitely have a couple of children's activities that will be going on during the film festival themselves, as well as a kid set for them. Truly, truly enjoyable little films that they have and gets them to maybe think a little bit. And if nothing else, really, really entertain them as well. One of the films we'll be showing is about community acupuncture here, at part of which Winona's own Jade Fang is in the film itself. And I believe she will be offering, I believe an hour afterwards, free acupuncture. We'll also be having the Winona's Farmers Market also in the SLC area there on Saturday morning. And then Sunday also in that same area, we'll have some local vendors as well as workshops and other people there as well.
Looks like there's going to be a beer tasting at Ed's No Name Bar.
There is, along with a couple of other films that we'll be showing there. That's on Tuesday, January 21st. A couple of films that they'll be showing there is one is Cardboard Titanics. It was one of those films that we debated hotly with the screening committee there. It's a fun, not super intelligent piece of about a bunch of very intelligent people trying to create boats out of cardboard and going around a buoy for a little bit. And that's about it. And it's just nice, enjoyable, little bit of mirth there, to be honest with you. And then the second film we'll be showing there as well is The Last Wild Race. It is a group of international teams that get together in Patagonia, Chile. They're hiking, kayaking. And then the second film that we'll be showing there is The Last Wild Race, which is in Chile, Patagonia. It is a international teams that compete to try to get across this large thing where they're going across glaciers, through rivers, through streams, hiking, mountain biking, and also kayaking through these areas there. It is the scenery and the landscapes that they show there are truly amazing and magnificent and places that are, you know, rarely touched by human beings in a lot of ways, and shows a little bit of craziness in these people as well.
There's also going to be a lecture by John Bauermaster, who's a noted oceans expert, award-winning journalist, and filmmaker. Worked with the National Geographic Expeditions Council. And we have The Struggles of Native Minnesota Bees by Ian Lane.
Well, John Bauermaster will also be, he's going to be here doing two question and answers on Tuesday, or on Wednesday and on Thursday. And we'll also be showing two of his films as well. The first one on Wednesday is Sola, about southern Louisiana, and talking about the bayou itself there, as well as the colorful people that are around the area and the other issues that they run into environmentally down there. And then after that, he will also be doing a questions and answer there after that. And that one's at the Southeast Tech Auditorium. And then on Thursday, January 23rd, then he will be showing his other documentary, Dear Governor Cuomo, which is a fabulous concert protest film with notable New York musicians. I believe Natalie Merchant's a part of it. I know Mark Ruffalo is in the film as well. And then he will also be he'll be talking after that as well.
What do you think these additional elements, these workshops and speakers and musical performances, add to the festival?
Well, I think that's kind of that helps separate us out from being at home and watching a documentary on Netflix. It helps you actually get more into, if you have some questions of when the documentary goes through, what was his motivations behind it, what's going on, or just to get more information from it. It's kind of nice to actually have the person physically here talking about his work, his passions, and more about the topic itself.
What are some of the other notable films being screened at this year's festival?
We are re-showing Mysteries of the Driftless, which its premiere was down in La Crosse back in September. And what's wonderful about this film, it's a quick, short, 30-minute film, but talks about the different aspects of what makes this area that we live in called the Driftless Zone so special and so amazing. The different why, you know, from the sinkholes to the effigy mounds that we have in this area. And it's just it's one of those snapshots that a lot of people don't really know about it. I mean, up to 2 years ago, I didn't even know of this area was called the Driftless Zone. And then suddenly now it seems to be everybody talks about it and it's become a big part about it. But it's good for us to know that just that much more about this area and what does make this area so special. And another one I'd like to kind of point on too is there's another very hot issue is about genetically modified organisms, the GMOs. Here we do are showing that GMO OMG, which is done by a filmmaker who showed a film a couple of years ago about dumpster diving and eating the food from those situations and trying to set things up from that, came up his new film all about GMOs. There is some wonderful, interesting information that comes from it. And I know very recently part of some of the studies that have talked about GMOs have come into question, and it could be a whole pretty much a TMZ sort of thing about what's going right and what's going wrong on it. And the other thing that we kind of talk about and we run into a little bit with the film festival, like you said before, is the political aspect of a lot of the films in here. And I know that in the past that I've kind of ran into the same issue where it starts to kind of weigh you down a little bit because, I mean, a lot of the times, a lot of these documentaries are about the issues in this world and, you know, talking about the lack of water or what plastic bags, too many plastic bags in the landfills, what's that causing? You have all this and it ends up kind of almost giving you, just bogging you down. What we really try to do, and we were really focusing on this year too, is having a little bit more of that counter programming in there, kind of the some more of the uplifting sort of films out there. One of which is The Fabulous Ice Age, which goes into basically the start of the ice ballet, all the way into the Ice Follies, a little bit about the competition, and essentially kind of the rise and fall of that. And yes, of course, it kind of runs on a down note because there are no real ice shows anymore going on, but it's from an individual that lives up in the cities and that has a whole museum on this, and both him and then the director of the film will also be down here as well talking about it. And again, it's one of those nice little kind of more of an uplifting sort of feels to it. And I know we'll also be showing re-showing Twilight of the Mississippi done by a group of artists from Minneapolis that create a boat and send it down the Mississippi doing their stage show. And more so it's about the strange and wonderful individuals that they meet along the way. Also, just, you know, again, wonderful, a little less serious in some ways, but even though still a good feel to them as well.
Let's talk about the need for volunteers. What kind of tasks do volunteers take on in the festival?
We can take on pretty much in any situation. There are for ticketing. There is for raffle or to work the area for the raffling, helping in setting up and tearing down. Because obviously, you get a lot of people in and out, especially with the vendors, giving them hands and helping out. At all of the different venues, we'll have people running the tech to make sure that everything runs smoothly, and training involved with that as well. There's ushers in front of each of the things, taking tickets, checking out people. There's just a whole gamut of different things that we go. And going on FRFF.org, there is a section right there on volunteers, and it lists them all off by the different positions, has a little explanation of what that is, and we can always use the help, that is for certain.
So if someone's interested in volunteering, they should just go to the website.
That would be the easiest way to look into that, correct.
So we've got all these wonderful activities going on. How do we find out where they're happening and when?
Easiest way to do it is on the website there, frff.org. There is the schedule there, and it listed everything by date and by where the location of it is. And there's even a nifty little thing where you can click on the check and create your own schedule as well. Plus, there will also be, we will have we'll have the brochures and we'll have the programs ready to go here actually relatively soon, and especially at the thing. And of course, just always ask. You can always send the email to us too if you have questions on it.
So where can we get tickets?
Right now, the easiest way is right on the website itself. You can order the tickets there. It's right on the right-hand side, getting your tickets online. We'll also be having tickets down at Chapter 2 Books right on 3rd Street.
So let's look at the passes that are available. The main one, the big one, is the Big Muddy Pass, which is $60. And this one provides you unlimited access to films, presentations, workshops, the opening reception, and the award ceremony.
That is correct. The only thing that does not cover would be the Charlie Parr concert at Dibs on Friday. Otherwise, everything else. And that also includes, you know, we've talked briefly about some of the activities that are going on beyond the weekend. But, you know, the center is the weekend. But, yes, we also have... This would also get you into the Saturday before is the kickoff at the Lanesboro Theater there, the St. Main Theater, as well as there's also a couple of showings of our what we call the adrenaline set as well. That's typically smaller films about the extreme sports side of things, and that's both at there's one showing of it at St. Mary's on Wednesday at 8:30. And then also at Lourdes Hall on Thursday at 9:30 as well. And that Big Muddy covers everything. And that, the only, like I said, the only thing it does not cover is the Charlie Parr concert.
Okay, the other two options, one is a 5-pack for $35. I assume that's just 5 admissions to any 5 events?
Correct. It's to each of the, admission to each, and each of the sets, correct.
And so if I'm just looking to go to one or two films, there's individual $8 passes.
That is correct, yes.
And can I just purchase that at the door?
It won't. We kind of run into that issue at sometimes people will come right to the venue where it's at. If it's the venues that are outside of the main event, yes, that's where we'll be selling passes and selling tickets. At Saturday and Sunday during the actual main festival here, there is one area typically to buy the tickets over in the SLC area. Very well marked out, because we do kind of run into that issue where people will show up relatively late and come right to the door of the venue. We're like, need to get you over there and get you to a ticket really quick kind of thing. We try not to take cash at the doors at those things.
Okay, so you encourage people to purchase their tickets ahead of time as opposed to trying to purchase them at the door.
That would be wonderful. Wonderful for everybody.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just like to say, you know, again, it's one of those situations where it's a wonderful thing to have here in Winona. Frozen River Film Festival, along with the other things that we talked about earlier too, about the Beethoven Festival. You have these at your disposal here in Winona. Definitely go and check them out. I mean, it gives you a little different perspective on the world. Maybe you learn something new. And that, to have something like this around this area and not utilize it, it's just a shame. Definitely come out and check it out. We'd love to have you out there. And we'd like to see this, see the festival continue to grow year after year.
That concludes this edition of Hollywood, Minnesota. Thank you to Paul Sokup of the Frozen River Film Festival for joining me today. You can find out more about the Frozen River Film Festival at the website frff.org. This program is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'm Nathan Wardinsky, and be sure to join me next week for another edition of Hollywood, Minnesota.